Today's seminary lesson is based on the chapter in Jung and the Lost Gospels called A Tale of Two Heresies, Nagamari and Kunman. The key part of this chapter is the first paragraph. And I just want to read a sentence or two from it. There is a belief almost universally held which declares that when humanity is in its greatest hour of need, spiritual help comes forth from transcendental quarters. And then it quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, when goodness grows weak, when evil waxes mighty, I make for myself a vehicle. In every age I return to deliver the whole, to destroy the fault of the evildoer, to establish true goodness. First thing I want to say is something about our text. The lessons that are on video are based on the idea that you've read the assignment in the text. If you don't read the text, you may understand everything I say, but you're not going to get the full point, because I'm not going to repeat what you have supposedly already read. I'm going to start from there and go on. So it's very important that before you get into the lesson as it's delivered here, that you read the material that's assigned, so that you will be at the same jumping off space as point as the rest of us. Now, having said that, I want to go back to the text that I read to you, because what we're going to look at is what is expressed there, which we call dispensationalism. Perhaps related to the word sensationalism, but we'll explore that. Gnostics believe, and really base their whole system on this concept of dispensationalism. So much so that sometimes we might think everybody believes it, but they don't. It's a fairly restrictive concept. It is the belief that the good news is periodically lost among mankind, that in fact they rarely hold on to it very long. It's given. By the second generation, it begins to be dulled, and before long it's being twisted and warped, and soon we have orthodoxy again. We have many branches of orthodoxy, quite a number of which have come out of one dispensation or another of the good news. So what happens then is that at an appropriate point, the good news must be restored. So another term, possibly, for dispensationalism would be restorationism. The concept that the good news must be periodically restored. And each major time it's restored, we refer to as a dispensation. Sometimes within dispensations, there have been what we might call sub-dispensations, a minor setting in order of the good news when it hasn't been completely lost, but almost lost. And our own dispensation is a good example of that. The good news was brought forth in the 19th century after over 1,200 years of basic darkness without it, because it took that long for the conditions to be brought about where the restoration would have a hope of succeeding. And during that time of darkness, there were various things happening to bring that about, many of them. Some of them religious, some of them political, some of them social, all moving toward that time when the good news could be restored and a new dispensation begun. So in the 19th century that happened. But by the even early 20th century, this was already being lost. However, this time it didn't go into total darkness, but there was a small remnant who kept enough alive so that there could be a setting in order, a bringing of things back together, so that in the mid-20th century, there was a resurgence of Gnosis. Now, interestingly, the 19th century Gnostics didn't know they were Gnostics. The term didn't have meaning for them. There was not the time. But they were Gnostics in their whole system and belief, which is all that really matters, of course. The term is Greek. There were Gnostics before there was a Greek language. They just didn't call themselves that. Though Gnostics in the 19th century, they also didn't call themselves that. But in the mid-20th century, as the time was approaching for the setting in order of the Gnosis that had been dispensed in the 19th century. A couple of interesting things happened. And at the time, there was no evident connection. And these were what we read about in our text. There was first the discovery of actual Christian Gnostic manuscripts in Egypt, and then 2 years later, the discovery of Jewish Gnostic manuscripts in at Qumran, in Palestine. Now, these manuscripts were discovered in the 1940s, but they didn't really come to general public knowledge until, well, the Jewish ones in the late 60s a little bit, going into the 70s, and the Christian ones until the mid-70s. Just as the setting in order was commencing. Now, the commencement of the setting in order was in no way related to those manuscripts. In fact, when it commenced, they were still barely known, especially the Christian ones from Egypt. But within a few years, they became readily available. And they flowed right into what was happening in the setting in order. And suddenly, those Gnostics, the heirs of the 19th century Gnostics, realized that they were Gnostics. What hadn't been known in the 19th century became clear because their whole system was exactly the system that Gnostics had always followed. Now, when I say system, I mean the basis of their belief in salvation. It was called soteriology, the study of salvation. It was the same system, that salvation is a function of knowledge. Not just any knowledge, but divine knowledge. And the Greek term for this, which was used by Gnostics in the early centuries of Christianity, was gnosis, which was a very specialized term. It didn't just mean knowledge. It meant experiential knowledge. And divine knowledge falls in that category because we experience it within, usually. But we experience it. We don't just hear about it. So, it was suddenly realized that the restoration had been a restoration of gnosis, even if the term wasn't known. And that the setting in order was a setting in order of gnosis, of the Gnostic system, so that people could be saved by the divine knowledge which Jesus had imparted to his disciples. Now, an essential to this concept is the realization that what we have in the Bible, which we could call the Orthodox Handbook of Christianity, is not the message Jesus came to deliver. It is a message Jesus delivered, in part, to help people come to the real message. So we have Jesus' parables. The parables are not the message. They are tools to help us open up to be in a place where we can understand the message when it comes to us. But the message was hidden. The message was orally handed to only those disciples who were ready for it. And then handed from them only to other disciples who became ready for it. And that's the key factor in gnosis that the Orthodox do not have. All the Orthodox ever have is a system that could prepare them to come to gnosis if they approach it right and let it work in them, which the whole Orthodox system tends to prevent. Because it's a system of repression. It wants to open people up just enough to get them in and then shut them off. If we were to analyze it, we would see that Orthodox Christianity is a cult by the contemporary definition, because it's definitely mind control. It opens people up enough to get them into a system, then it shuts them off. Total mind control. Whereas gnosis is the exact opposite. It opens people up and then wants them to go on learning and growing without end. And while it gives tools to help them do that and materials that can help guide them in that, it doesn't put any restrictions on, doesn't need to. If people are honestly in this, they will come to the knowledge. And if they don't, it's only their problem. It doesn't need to be controlled by anyone else. So it's strictly a growth system. A system for growing in knowledge. And knowledge is power, we say. Because if you know how to do a thing, that automatically means you have the ability to do it. You have the power to do it. Now, if you know how it might be done, but you can't do it, then you don't have the knowledge of how to do it. But if you know how to do it, that is the ability to do it. Knowledge is power. So when we say that the Gnostic continue to grow in knowledge, we also mean they continue to grow in power. They have more and more power. Now, power over what? What they seek is power over their own lives. So that they are not governed by every force that is around them, comes against them, tries to govern them. But that whatever those forces may be, they have the ability to find within themselves the means, the power, to control or counteract those forces so that they can live their lives the way they choose. Now this, you see, is real freedom. And there is no other real kind of freedom. The Gnostic is essentially, by nature, totally free. It's a growing thing. We learn to be more and more free until we become totally free, but that's the objective. Whereas anyone else cannot be truly free. They may be free from this or free from that, but there are all sorts of forces they have no control over, nor any potential for controlling in many cases. That's what makes the Gnostic unique. But human nature being what it is, mortal nature being what it is, any body of people doesn't hold on to this very well. That is, each generation has to learn it anew. Now, hopefully, they can learn it from the generation that precedes them. That is, they can be guided in it, because we always have to learn these things directly from the Holy Spirit as each individual. Hopefully, the guidance can come from the generation before. It's smoother that way, it's easier that way, it's faster that way, it works better that way. But if that chain is broken, which it is periodically because of the nature of the mortal condition, then the necessary preparations have to be made, a person and a body of people have to be made ready so that it can again be brought from the spiritual plane to the mortal plane. And this means a new dispensation of the good news. This is what we have in mind when we talk dispensationalism. The records that came forth from Nag Hammadi, from Qumran, they were useful, but they were already twisted here and there, perhaps, or because they were given for people with in a different culture with a different mindset, sometimes it's hard for us to see how they're leading exactly where they're going. But they've been useful in terms of helping us to feel the connection to what went before, and to focus in on things so we can reach out and receive for ourselves the knowledge in a manner that's clear to us. But that which we actually work with, in every case, is brought to us from the Holy Spirit for us in our time. And if, in another generation, or two, or three, or five, or ten, whatever it takes, that is lost, then there will have to be either a setting in order, or a dispensation of the good news. Because that has to happen as long as there are mortals who can be lifted up to realize their divine potential. You see, it isn't so important in terms of history. It's important in terms of individuals and their growth to divine Godhead. And that's why we have dispensations. That's why we have the good news. That's why we have Gnosis. None of it is of concern to us as an intellectual exercise. None of us is of concern to us as a historical event. It's all of concern to us as individuals growing and developing. Amen. Amen.